संस्कारायत्र विच्छिन्ना स्वाद्विजो अजो जगदायम् इज्जध्यायनादानानि विहितानि द्विजन्मनान् जन्मकर्मावदातानां क्रियाश्चाश्रमोचोदिता Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who have been reformed by the Garbhadhan ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods, perform with Vedic mantras and without interruption, and who have been approved by Lord Brahma are Dvijas, are twice born. Such Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas purified by their family traditions and by their behavior, should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give charity. In the system, they should follow the principles of four ashrams, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanprastha, and Sannyas. Purport. After giving a general list of 30 qualifications for one's behavior, Narad Muni now describes the principles of the four varnas and four ashrams. A human being must be trained in the above mentioned 30 qualities, otherwise he is not even a human being. Then among such qualified persons, the Varnashram process should be introduced. In the Varnashram system, first ceremony for purification is Garbhadhan, which is performed with mantras at the time of sex for propagating a good child. One who uses sex life not for sensual pleasures, but only to beget children, according to the reformatory method, is also accepted as Brahmachari. One should not waste semen on sensual pleasure, violating principles of Vedic life. Restraint in sex is possible, however, only when the populace is trained in the above mentioned 30 qualities. Otherwise, it is not possible. Even if one is born in the family of Dvijas or twice born, if they have not followed the reformatory process, he is called a Dvij Bandhu. Not one of the twice born, but a friend of the twice born. The whole purpose of the system is to create good population. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, when women are polluted, the populace is Varnasankar, and when the Varnasankar population increases, the situation of the entire world becomes hellish. Therefore, all Vedic literature strongly warn against creating Varnasankar population. When there is Varnasankar population, the people cannot be properly controlled for peace and prosperity. Regardless of great legislative assemblies, parliaments, and similar bodies. Om Agyan Samskara Yatra Avichinnaha Swadijo Ajo Jagadayam Ijja Dhyana Danani Vihitani Dvijan Manan Janma Karma Vadatanam Kriyas Chashram Chodita. Those who have been reformed by the Garbhadhan ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods, perform with the Vedic mantras and without interruption, and who have been approved by Lord Brahma are Dvijas, are thrice born. Such Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas purified by their family traditions and by their behavior should worship the Lord, study the Vedas and give charity. In this system, they should follow the principles of four ashrams, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanprastha and Sannyas. So this is the continuation of the discussion between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Narad Muni, where Yudhishthir Maharaj is keen to know more about the systematic arrangement of the society for spiritual elevation, advancement. And here, Narad Muni, after explaining the 30 characteristics of an ideal behavior, he is now giving the system to implement this system for implementation, where this character and well-behaved people will be able to achieve the advancement in spiritual life. So here We have seen the Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about the importance of the first reformatory method, samskar. That means to give a very favorable impression on the consciousness. The whole Vedic culture is drawn around and centered just to give a favorable impression for making advancement in spiritual life. So this samskar began with Garbhadhan samskar, which even begins before a child enters into this creation. So the whole system of prayers and invoking auspiciousness is a continual thread in Vedic culture. When one depends upon the mercy of the Supreme Lord and also takes one duty very responsibly. So, in fact, the Vedic culture centers around protection to five classes of beings. A special, very special protection. So, this is, Prabhupada said, the society will be judged. The ideal society or the character of the society or the standard of society will be judged upon how these five classes of people are being protected. The first being the brahmanas. The second being the cows. Third, the women, children and elderly people. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the protection of the brahmanas maintains the institution of varna and ashram for implementing all these further principles. The protection of the cows maintains the most miraculous form of food, that is milk, which nourishes the brain tissues to understand spiritual advancement. And the protection of the women maintains the chastity of the society by which one can get good generation for peace, tranquility and progress. And the protection of children, here what is discussed is, gives the human form of life its best chance to progress on the path of liberty from material bondage. Srila Prabhupada's words are very precise and have very clear meaning. And protection of old men, we have devotees who are on the terminal stage of their life, sometimes are given very special care. So this is very important. Why? Because it is not just old men means only those who are old by age, but actually those who are nearing their death. So special care given to those to prepare themselves for better life after death. So many principles given. And then Prabhupada mentions then Maharaj Parikshit also was specifically protected by all the samskaras, where Dhamya, the royal priest, and Kripacharya made this special reformatory ceremonies. But Srila Prabhupada mentions finally that such expert brahmanas were available as in those times. Now, what is the practical implementation of those Vedic samskaras? As sometimes we often try to figure out how this traditional Vedic culture and systems would be implemented in the modern day Kali Yuga. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delegated this task to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to adapt, this is the adapted version of the Vedic culture of the previous era. That in Kali Yuga, how this Vedic culture should be adopted. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered them, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to take this most responsible task. And this is how the Goswamis gave the purificatory processes under the banner of Panchratrika formulas. I was just going to the Panchratras, or what generally this Panchratras they mention. There are six major sections of the Panchratras. And the first being is Nam Seva. That is service to the holy name. if one takes to this process of chanting Hare Krishna, then the purification is very, very imminent. And next, it is mentioned, is Tulsi Seva. This is another favorable impression on creating a good impact on the consciousness, is to serve the pure devotee of the Lord. That is Tulsi Devi. The third section is Shastra Seva. That is study of the scriptures. Scrutinizingly study of the scriptures. Just by studying the scriptures, we become purified. Why? Because they are the Vedic hymns. They are the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord Himself. The fourth is Vaishnava Seva. Service to the Vaishnavas. And there are many categories under the Vaishnavas. The three kinds of Vaishnavas, Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. And service to them depends upon how, service to them depends upon the category of Vaishnavas, how we can serve them best. And the fifth is Atithi Seva, receiving guests. And that means like King Rantidev showed his character, how to serve the guest. And finally, the sixth is Dham Seva, service to the holy Dham. So this is how this was translated in Kali Yuga. There are six important, in fact, the five potent processes of devotional service given more preeminence than the so-called Vedic ceremonies. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, deity worship, and residing in the holy Dham. So, I was just hearing some class of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he was explaining how responsible is this human form of life, and especially a parent. A parent or parents, when actually they come together for creating a progeny, it is the most responsible action. They are inviting a very pious soul if they perform this ceremony. With the six limbs translated by Srila Rupa Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami. And then, not only that, it continues much more after that. It is, the whole protection system is given from right from the birth till death. The Vedic culture never excludes or is not exclusive. It's not just for a particular point or period of time. It begins before the birth and then continues up till death. So, this understanding is given here that the process begins just even before the birth. And it is mentioned that the impressions are created by favorable environment in the family, where the parents take very good responsible behavior. And sometimes those children who become very abusive, it is ascribed that those who abuse their wives, they had their father who were abusing their wife or the mother. And because of that impression has carried forward, it has become a natural ingrained part of the system. So the child learns simply by seeing and observing. He does not have to be told that this has to be followed. He simply looks for example to be followed. And therefore, this is also true in regard for every other. In fact, a preacher of Krishna consciousness is like a parent. When he assumes that role on the behalf of the spiritual master, he has to be act very responsibly. So actually, how this duty should be conducted with responsibility and maturity is explained by Lord Brahma himself. When Lord Brahma appeared from the lotus, from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he saw around him all darkness. And then he was completely confused, bewildered, what his role should be and what should be his next step. And immediately he heard these words, tapa. And he perform penance for 1,000 celestial years. After performing the penance, the Lord appeared to him and Brahmaji is offering prayers. He is not just happy that the Lord has appeared in front of him, but he is now worried how to execute his duty very responsibly. And therefore he prays, "Oh my Lord, today after many, many years," he said, after many, many, many years. Can you imagine when Brahmaji says many, many, many years? Brahmaji's life himself is 311 trillion, 40 billion years. And when he says many, 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 many years, that means it's a real long time. And he says, "I have come to know about you." That means if we come to know about Krishna less than the lifespan of Brahma, then it should be a compliment. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are that they are unable to know your personality. Here Brahmaji is becoming very concerned, because the task that he is about to do is the creation of this material existence, where the existence is created for the forgetfulness of the living entity, the forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord by the living entity. And Brahmaji is now also given the task of creating the forgetfulness and also giving the program to actually come for the remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So he has a double task. First, he has to create bodies, species of life according to the karma, to give them the species, put them in ignorance, and also then give a program for coming back to the spiritual world. And therefore it's a process which goes backwards and then has to go front. And therefore Brahmaji is praying. So we'll try to categorize these prayers of Brahmaji, as Lord Brahmaji is the example for all of us. He is the Mahajans, and he is setting the example how one should perform one's duty responsibly and maturely. So, in fact, he prays before the Lord, "My dear Lord, that you are, I am born from your house of your lotus navel," right? "And then while you were enjoying sleep, and now your sleep having ended, your eyes are open like the blossoming lotuses in the morning." Amazingly, Srila Prabhupada gives a purport in a very different twist. No one can imagine that twist. And what is that Prabhupada writes in the first line? Brahmaji is teaching us that the beginning of Archana, regulations from morning. Now, the Lord is awakening from sleep, and Brahmaji is saying that your eyes are now open. And Brahmaji, Prabhupada writes that Brahmaji is teaching us. In fact, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us through Brahma. Srila Prabhupada is teaching us through Brahma's teachings, that the beginning of Archana regulations from the morning, 4 o'clock. Prabhupada writes in the bracket, 4 o'clock, morning means, because it has to be specifically mentioned in Kali Yuga, because there are different standards of morning. A good morning with a bed tea and a newspaper, that's what the Kali Yuga morning is all about. And probably somewhere around just 1 hour before they depart for their duties is their Brahma Murta period, and they perform all their activities there. So Prabhupada says, from morning 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So it might be like, our morning program is from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock or so. Srila Prabhupada says, no, morning to night, 10 o'clock. There is one purport which explains the whole system at what process should be there. Morning, there should be this bhoga, then this aarti, and all of those things. Srila Prabhupada was in Allahabad, Jhansi, and he had his Gaudiya Math. And there was a letter to all the brothers. Brothers means those who were going to participate in this mission. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the rules and regulations that in the morning we'll have Mangal Aarti, and then after Mangal Aarti there will be the Mangal Bhog, which is there, will be offered as prasadam to everyone. And then we'll chant Japa. And then after Japa we'll have Kirtan, and again there will be some breakfast. And I mean, the whole thing is explained in the letter, that how everything is given to you, provided to you. You don't have to worry about your food, clothing and shelter. This is way back in Allahabad, where Srila Prabhupada was. And then evening we'll have Kirtan, they'll come together, assemble together for a class, and everything was very clear. way back in Allahabad, when Srila Prabhupada had not incorporated ISKCON formally. These purports are giving the clear directive. Early in the morning, devotee has to rise from his bed and pray to the Lord. And there are regulative principles for offering Mangalarti early in the morning. And this is how Srila Prabhupada translates. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says, it is the ras of the Supreme Lord, of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But what is the ras of the Supreme Lord? We know only one ras Krishna performs with the gopis in Vrindavan, that too in the night. So Prabhupada says, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu also has his ras. Ras Lila. And what is his Ras Lila? With the external potency. The creation, which is the external potency, this is his Ras Lila with the creation of the world. And he has created this world, is also one Ras Lila which is going on. This is one of his pastimes. He enjoys his pastimes. So, in fact, these prayers of Lord Brahma are so wonderful that you can categorize these prayers into three steps. And the first prayer Lord Brahma who says is that, let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and the soul of all living entities. May he be merciful towards me so that as before may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who are dear to the Lord. He is begging for introspection. He is begging for empowerment. And we find that even if we are given some service, there is empowerment due with the service. But also, one has to still beg for the strength to continue to execute that empowerment. And Srila Prabhupada was saying one of the stories that how if one has the desire to serve the Supreme Lord, then all empowerment comes, all the opportunity comes. Because without desire, there is no empowerment. And way back in the early 1960s, that is mid-1960s, when early disciples or early incomers to the movement, Brahmanand Prabhu was mentioning that he was, Srila Prabhupada started his con with nothing, zero bank balance, no money, no finance. And still Srila Prabhupada was not figuring out to raise funds for a temple. Generally, the conception is that we cannot attract people to Krishna consciousness without raising funds. Because we need a temple, we need a situation to come, and then people come and then they become encouraged. Srila Prabhupada had a different way. He would just be sincerely executing the order of his spiritual master, and then everything would come just by executing that order. So, Srila Prabhupada would write, his habit was to write the commentaries, the purports. And Brahmanand Prabhu was wondering, what should we do for the Swami? He does not tell anything what he requires. So, Brahmanand Prabhu went and was going in the shops and moving until he saw one shop and there was some instrument. That was, and he asked that, you know, this was for, and he saw the dictaphone. And his desire was to serve Srila Prabhupada. So he went in the store and asked, what is this thing? So this is used as a dictaphone, which is for doctors and lawyers to record their clients and keep notes of what they said, keep history. Then he was thinking, could this instrument be used by authors? Said, yes, definitely they can be used by the authors. And he asked, you know, he purchased this dictaphone, the first dictaphone, for $150. He had some money from the Jewish tradition used to give some money to the... So there was some money which was there with him. And then he went and he was trying to figure out, Prabhupada would not know how to use this. Let me understand how this instrument works. And he got a very detailed overview of how this instrument works. And then he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I got a dictaphone for you. You can, instead of writing and all those things, you can just dictate in this. And we'll transcribe all these things for you. And he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'll show you how to use this. Prabhupada said, that's okay. Keep it with me. And Prabhupada exactly knew how to use the dictaphone. Right? He was amazed. And then Prabhupada was making tapes after he got this. Srila Prabhupada's excitement was never in achieving something. Yes, this is achieved. And not even celebrated excitement. He was so much absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord, he went ahead. Okay, I have to do something with this. And he kept on producing a lot of tapes. And the devotees were not able to transcribe those tapes. And there was another problem. There was advancement. Prabhupada did it. But there were no one to back Prabhupada's speed. Until there was one person who appeared on the scene. His name was Bhakta Neel. In fact, he was just Neel. Because he came there, he became Bhakta Neel. Devotees call him Bhakta Neel. And he was like, he was one who actually would, one of the students would do their summers in their vacation. So he came in the summers and he was given the task of studying a really religious organization, being with some religion in their summers. So he had heard about Srila Prabhupada's activities in the storefront, and he came all the way from far east, and he came to New York, and this place was there, and he came and said, I'd like to help. And he said, well, I am good at English. So devotees asked, are you good at typing? He says, yeah, I can do very good typing. No problem. So, okay, take this. And he started, and his speed was 100 words per minute. And he was like, and within his summers, he transcribed all the tapes of Srila Prabhupada. And then, amazingly, Prabhupada was, he was working on, there was no facilities, there were rats in the storefront. And he was like just a person who came for summers and, you know, trying to help out. And Prabhupada was like working from the night, from the morning till night. And Prabhupada told the devotees, make sure that you feed him very nicely. As he won't get the enthusiasm and courage. That's how actually the enthusiasm goes on in our service. Without prasadam, it's very difficult to work from morning till night. So then this is how empowerment works. When there's a desire, then the Lord sends. In fact, Srila Prabhupada told when Brahmananda Prabhu brought that first dictaphone, he said, I want all of my disciples to be independently thoughtful men. I don't want to tell them what they should do. Now you do this. Now I want this. Now you serve this way. If they see, if they have the desire, then Krishna will guide from within how to execute what kind of services. So this is how Srila Prabhupada never enforced them. Okay, now this is your department. Now we have something like, you know, we departmentalize your services, this. And like Prabhupada had no departments, no temple, no funds, and still it was a full-fledged activity. So this is how empowerment works. Srila Prabhupada had his Grahastha disciples who were, Prabhupada started in Montreal, the second center, the third center in Canada, and he called all of his Grahastha disciples and told them, I want all of you to go to learn Europe. Prabhupada was in USA, but he was thinking about Europe. Because Srila Prabhupada was wanting Krishna consciousness on every continent and every country. So he called all his disciples and figure, I was just thinking to read, you know, Prabhupada must have trained them. We heard about Srila Prabhupada trained them how to start center in Europe. And when I just was going to Lilamrit, and we find out that Srila Prabhupada trained them for a week. And what did Srila Prabhupada taught them? How to perform kirtan. How to perform kirtan, how to chant proper pronunciation. And Srila Prabhupada just told them, our mission will not be spread. We are not here to just learn how to make a nice theatrical performance, right, with nice music and all these things. We should chant with very pure motive. Pure, very purely. And Prabhupada was, as he was talking about pure devotees, and he was talking about not just a brand of devotion, another brand of devotion, but Prabhupada was filling the same pure devotional service into his disciples. And that would work. And that's how one devotee who joined in Montreal, his name was Sam, he became Shivananda. And immediately after joining, he became very much inspired and told, I want to do something. So he hardly had met Prabhupada, and he was saying that, and Prabhupada told him actually, friend Srila Prabhupada came and told him, now you should go and preach in Europe. That's how Prabhupada would say, go and preach in Europe. And he went, He said, okay, what should... Just he was about to board the flight and he asked, what should I do? This was the kind of surrender these disciples would have in the early days. Now, if we have to go somewhere, you know, for a long distance, for a preaching program, we plan and systematically. And this devotee said, oh, so what should I do? He said, just chant and spread the holy name, sit in one place, congregate people, make them and speak something about what you heard. No books. Just speak what you heard. This devotee went to London. He was rejected by the immigration because he didn't have enough money. So he went to Amsterdam. Amsterdam, he started chanting and dancing, and it became a news in the newspapers, and it came in the newspapers that Hare Krishna and then A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, name was mentioned. Prabhupada got this news, this is the success. When Prabhupada saw his name, he said, this is the success, right? That the mission is picking up. So he said, finally, he recommended Prabhupada, I can go to Germany. And he went to Germany. And amazingly, when he went single-handed Germany, he was staying in a storefront. This is how Srila Prabhupada gave the same format to his disciples. Just go one person starting a center, right? And then he was sitting in a storefront with no wall, because that was bombed. Germany at that time was just recovering after that World War. There was East and West Germany. Prabhupada wanted to cross the Berlin Wall and wanted them to preach. So there was no wall, there was no roof, and he was just sitting in the storefront without walls. And he was chanting, and he was not complaining. He was not complaining, there are no facilities to preach. And this is how Srila Prabhupada kept on sending devotees to help him out. Amazingly, this is how actually everything worked. Srila Prabhupada said, so when this devotee became a little bit disturbed and told to Prabhupada, what should I do? Prabhupada would have his singular disciples in all one country and they would be faced. What should I do? Prabhupada, because he went through that, he was alone. Like Brahmaji is here alone, amidst all darkness. Srila Prabhupada was alone, amidst the city of New York. No one, not a single person. And Prabhupada, Brahmaji got those words, tapa. And Srila Prabhupada got the words of the spiritual master that go and preach in the Western world, in the English language. And that was enough. And Prabhupada had to do a lot of austerity, a lot of penance on the way, before the way, lifetime in preparation. That was the penance. Long, long years of penance, lifetime in preparation. Brahmaji had his penance. And ultimately, finally, just as Brahmaji got the darshan of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaluduta and Krishna appeared with all his incarnations. So Srila Prabhupada was exactly following the line of Brahmaji, alone, not knowing what to do, got the instruction, but had full faith in that instruction. So this is how this prayer is there for getting empowered. Please give me the introspection to create. Because there is a desire to serve, everything else follows with the desire. So next Brahmaji is praying that... O Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, who is the benefactor of the surrendered souls, I pray only to engage in His service of the creation of the material world, and I pray that I not be materially affected by my works, for thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. And this is how, even after getting empowered, it's not just enough. The next prayer is protection from falling down. Because Srila Prabhupada writes a very wonderful purport here. Brahmaji, who is only an assistant in the modes of creation, wanted to remain in his actual position as an instrument of the Lord. He never thought, because he was alone, he was the only one, he was the one responsible for everything. He knew that everything came by the mercy of the Lord, and he was saying that, instead of becoming puffed up by the false prestige of thinking himself the creator, I want to remain an instrument of the Lord. That is the way of becoming dear by receiving one's the benediction. In fact, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, we find a similar example where Vasudev the leper, where he was, when the Lord left from the house of Kurma Brahman in South India, he came and he was very much forsaken and forlorn, thinking that the Lord has left. He could not meet him. So the Lord came back to meet Vasudev, embraced him with all of his leprosy, and Vasudev was just, don't touch my Lord, I am such a fallen person. And then his body became completely beautiful, all of his leprosy gone, and that was not his happiness. His distress and his misery and his disease both were gone. The distress of not seeing the Lord was mitigated when the Lord embraced him and saw him. And then the disease also was gone. So the next step was that immediately of being alert and caution. Along with the mercy, one has to accept caution in Krishna consciousness. Because the mercy also can make us proud of receiving that mercy. So being proud of receiving that mercy, the Brahmaji is anticipating that even if I receive your mercy, I will be proud, I will think myself to be creator. And Brahmaji is praying because he not to be materially affected. So here also we find that this is there. And that's how Srila Prabhupada said, I always pray that I may never fall down. And that's how Srila Prabhupada said, I never fall down from my position. And then finally, the last prayer is that of Lord's praying for not deviating from the Vedic principles. That means one should be very steadfast in following the principles as is given in the Vedic hymns. I therefore pray that in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. A very wonderful purport. Brahma, as the supermost Brahmana, is afraid of such a fall down and therefore prays to the Lord for protection. This is a warning for one and all in spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and blessing to carry out one's duty. Lord Chaitanya also entrusted his missionary work to his devotees and assured them of his protection against the onslaught of material affection. The path of spiritual life is stated in the Vedas to be edge of a sharpened razor. But one who is surrendered soul is always seeking protection from the Lord in the discharge of the entrusted duties. He has no fear of falling into material contamination. And this is how actually we find Srila Prabhupada gave the whole program of how to execute the process of Krishna consciousness with responsibility and maturity. And Brahmaji was in anxiety. Brahmaji was thinking, how is this going to happen? How is this Herculean task going to take place? And when the Lord saw Brahma's anxiety about planning and constructing of different planetary systems, the Lord appeared. And Lord said, O my dear Lord Brahma, neither be depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. So when the devotee has attained that stage of complete dependence upon the Supreme Lord, when he's always urging the Lord for the protection, that consciousness itself is complete reciprocation, ensures complete reciprocation with the Lord of the complete mercy. That consciousness itself is the protection. That consciousness itself is the reciprocation of the Lord. And therefore we find the Lord says, whatever you are thinking of the Herculean task has been already granted before, so do not worry and everything will be done. Prabhupada says in the purport that any person authorized by the bona fide representative for the service, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should be always aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution. Arjuna also was similarly entrusted, the same work on the battlefield, but because Arjuna was conscious of his position as being subordinate to the Lord, the Supreme Lord guided him in responsibility. And Prabhupada says, finally, anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of disciplic succession who follow in these footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving service to the Supreme Lord. In fact, Kardam Muni also was praying. In fact, he was thinking to marry a suitable match. And he was performing his austeres on the Bindu Sarovar, and the Lord appeared to him and he offered and he regretted for his material desire. But then the Lord said, whatever you are thinking of your desire to have a bride of your suitable match has been granted. Tomorrow Swayambhu Manu is coming and he will offer you his daughter. And this is similar to the gopis in Vrindavan when Krishna left the gopis to crush their pride externally. But then Krishna appeared and then they said, Gopi said, which kind of lover are you? The one who reciprocates or does not reciprocate? with the love, the second one who reciprocates even without actually giving love, and the third person who actually neglects. Krishna says that the person, the lover who actually just gives according to the proportion of love is a businessman, should be rejected. The second type of lover who actually gives despite any reciprocation is actually the preferred one. The third category of lover is one who does not reciprocate even when everything is offered. That lover comes in two categories. One is the Atmaram and the other is the ungrateful man. And Krishna is Atmaram. And Krishna said, I purposely left you hankering because I wanted to increase your love for me. Sometimes when something is very much available easily, then it is tendency to take it very casually. And therefore, just like a wealthy person who has got wealth but he has lost that wealth. But then when he gets it back, he treasures that wealth much more than ever before. Similarly, I have kept myself away from all of you to increase your love for me, and I have not treated you as ordinary devotees. And therefore, I was just wanted to share one nice realization of one devotee. This devotee actually came to us with Dwarka, and he had a great desire. He's the father of Brajraj Priya Prabhu. He's an elderly gentleman, 59 years old. And he was came from Allahabad, caught a train. There was a connecting train. He was about to reach around 9 to 10 hours earlier. But his train got delayed in Allahabad 7 hours. And he was wandering there. And again got delayed 2 hours later. And he was thinking whether I'll be able to reach to get my train from Bombay. And he was in such separation. He was remembering. He was telling us that. I was remembering the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. How Krishna, how Vipada Santuta Shashvat. Let these calamities come, because this is your mercy that you are there here. And he was praying desperately to the Lord that please let me come, I want to go. And in that desperation, he did not eat, drink, or anything for 12 hours. In fact, he chanted 112 rounds. He reached Mumbai at 7:20 p.m. The train was again at 8 o'clock. And he came, Brajraj Priya Prabhu came, he brought him to the, and just he reached, and he said, he was telling to us on the way back, that Lord Krishna showed me mercy only once in my life. And this was the time when in great desperation I chanted those rounds, not thinking anything, he was literally praying intensely. So sometimes these small difficulties or calamities are actually a benediction from the Lord, lest we recognize those opportunities. So these great calamities are greatest opportunities when we actually have the right consciousness, and Brahmaji is praying for the right consciousness to serve the Lord. It's not the service. It's not just begging for the service, but it's begging for the right consciousness for the service. And that is very important. And he's trying and he's begging the Lord to protect his service, protect his consciousness, and that is the real protection and the mercy of the Lord. Jai Shukantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Sorry for being overshooting the time. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Chai.